Praise God. I watched him stand and worship the Lord a moment ago, and it just blessed me beyond the mess. If you're here, make sure for the first time, make sure the ushers get you a card so we have a record of your visit, okay? Some time ago, in fact, it's been going on 17 years, 18 years ago now, my wife and I were attending the Fairbanks Church of God. It's been almost 20 years now. We were attending the Fairbanks Church of God, Joe Perez, the pastor, little guy that God saved in the bathroom at the Fairbanks International Airport. He was a heroin addict, and he couldn't take it anymore, and he went into the men's stall. He was a janitor, maintenance man there, and he went into one of the men's stall, and he knelt down there in front of the toilet, and he said, "God, if you're real, you got to save me. I can't take this anymore." God saved him. Tremendous salvation. He became the pastor of the Fairbanks Church of God, and we attended there, and we went through a period of trial that was, it was just an event that the devil dropped into the middle of that church, and we very nearly split. We very nearly went on and had two congregations out of there, but God, in His goodness, God had His will, and sides and factions came together, and they asked for forgiveness, and they saw the will of God for that church. And Fairbanks, Church of God, having gone through the valley of Baca, the valley of suffering, turned into a well of springs. A well of blessing.
Hallelujah.
And it became Valley of Blessing, Church of God. And I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. We talked a couple of weeks ago that we're on a journey. This is not all there is. This is not it. Don't get stuck in this place. This place is not reality. We talked a little bit about that in Sunday school this morning. Up there, that's reality. This is temporary. This thing down here that we call life, it's only temporary. We need to keep our eyes focused on the fact that Jesus is up there, and our eyes are focused on Him. And one day we will live forever with Him if we are willing in this part, in this place, in this part of our journey, to acknowledge Him for who He is, Savior of the world. He saved. He has saved me. Amen. Keep touching this. I am the pastor. I know pastors are, I guess, not supposed to dress like this, but, you know, I got other clothes. This just happens to be the clean ones. So I wore those today. Amen. Psalm 84, would you join with me, please, as we look at this psalm? How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God.
Yes.
Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage, as they pass through the valley of Baca. In the margin, mine says that this valley is better translated sorrow. Weeping. They pass through this valley of sorrow and weeping. They make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools, or better yet, blessings. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. Father, this morning, as we gather in this place, we come, Lord, to worship you, to hear your word come from you, not from the lips of men. Lord, not sermons, but a message that comes from you. Father, I just pray that you anoint it. Lord, let me hide back here behind the cross. that you might receive the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a psalm of pilgrimage, a psalm of ascents, the Bible talks about. It refers to a time when people would make pilgrimage to Jerusalem. A good Jewish man had to be there 3 times a year. When they would make this pilgrimage, these songs of ascent, as they came down from the Mount of Olives across the Kidron Valley and ascended the mountain into Jerusalem, they would sing these songs of ascent. And this psalm is recorded by the Holy Spirit. I don't know if the Holy Spirit heard someone singing this or whatever, but it's so beautiful it ended up in our Bible, and we can learn from these words. This man that begins to sing about how wonderful it is, this journey to God. In fact, he becomes almost to the place, I kind of laugh at this, it becomes almost, I don't want to say jealous, but kind of envious of the sparrows and the swallows, because they get to live there. He's just coming up for a visit, but they get to live there. They find a nest where they can lay and rear their young in the house of the Lord. Oh God, that we would be sparrows and swallows to understand that our rest, our peace, our safety is in the house of God. And it's in this place where we are to rear our young. Some guy going along there. My King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. In verse 5, the Spirit of God tells us, blessed is the man whose strength is in you. I've been reading in my devotions through the book of Jeremiah, the prophet, and that's not, I'm telling you, it's not a real happy book as you begin to read of the judgments that are coming on Judah, that are coming from the mouth of Jeremiah. In fact, they're so bad they want to kill Jeremiah. It's God that's making the judgment. They're trying to kill the messenger. But in the 17th chapter of the gospel, or the book of Jeremiah, in the very first verse, it says this: cursed is the man who trusts in man, who makes flesh his arm or his strength. When we begin to lean on ourselves, our own ambitions, our own thinking, our own strength, our own agendas, God is saying you are cursed from the very beginning. I don't know about you, but I've tried some things and failed. In fact, not even failed, I flopped. You ever been there? Have you ever done anything that it's just you look back and say, oh my God, I thought I could do this. Never do that again. Amen. Absolutely. The first sermon I ever preached in the old Church of God over there, just a new Christian, the first sermon I ever preached, I studied for, I don't know, a week. And I came to this, to preaching this scripture. It is now high time for the church of God to awake. And man, I preached that. I busted hides. Every person that was in there, I lambasted. And when it was all over, I learned my lesson. You need to ask God, first of all, what to preach. And you need, with all that's in you, to lean on God for the mercy, the love, and the grace of God as you preach it. It's not my ability to bust people wide open. And that very first sermon, I learned a real lesson. Keep your mouth shut and let God speak. Keep your mouth shut and let God speak. Problems, trials, situations. Don't think that you can handle them by yourself. You need to do it through the power and the mercy and the grace of Almighty God. I read this morning from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There is no trial. Oh my God, here we go. Got to talk about trial. No trial taking you but such as common to man. But God, you don't understand what I'm going through. I've tried this and I've tried that and this, the answer's just not coming. Well, quit trying and let God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm getting way ahead of myself. I don't need to go. Look to God alone to be your strength.
Yes.
You'll never find it anywhere else. And I can't find it in your strength. Even though we try, many times we can't find it in each other's strengths. But that's sometimes the first people that we go to are brothers and sisters. For a long time ago, and I still believe it, when the problems come, go to the throne, not to the phone.
Hallelujah.
Because we're not going to find, unless they're willing to say, hey, you need to pray and I'll pray with you. There is wisdom. This life that we live is not merely hard. I ate with Dwayne at the table yesterday and he made this statement to me. He says, this is impossible without God. And I said, no truer words has any man ever spoken. This life and our journey, because we're on this journey, just like this man is going to Jerusalem, we're on a journey to get somewhere. And while we're going there, things are going to be tough. And we can't do it in our own strength. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. Sean, can you throw, or no, you can't. Oh, that's all right. And if you read, if you get out that 17th chapter of Jeremiah and read, the people that try to do it, they're like a bush that comes up in the desert, and when the heat comes, they're not rooted and they just go away. God is my strength and my shield. God is my one that goes before me. He is my rear guard. The strength of the Lord is more than adequate. And it's impossible to do this thing, this journey, to go to this place without the grace, the strength, the mercy of Almighty God. So what are you saying? I'm saying it's a battle. I'm saying that it can be a struggle. We need to go to God and get His strength. How do you do that? Pastor, how do you do that? I sure would like to know that. How do you do that? Try praying.
Yes.
Try getting into the Word of Almighty God and staying in that Word. Bill Johnson has something. He's one of the greatest teachings he's ever taught that got to me. He says when problems come, he starts in the book of Psalms. He gets to the book of Psalms and he just starts reading. And he doesn't stop reading until the answer comes. He has never not found the answer to life situations in the book of Psalms. Have you ever read the book of Psalms? Have you ever read some of the sobbings and the pities and the oh my's and the oh me's that's written in there? Oh, those the deprecatory psalms. Sorry about that. Those deprecatory psalms. Those ones where you get in there and they pray, oh, God, slay them, knock them off their horse, trample them under your hooves, do away with them. Their prayers, somebody's really kind of frustrated when they pray those prayers. But when you come to the end, almost always blessing. David said, oh, my soul, why art thou so cast down within me? But when he gets to the end, my heart shall rejoice in you. Get into the Word of God. Let God's Word speak to you. That's why He wrote it. Do you know He wrote it to you? So that in 2016, that on your journey to this place where God lives, that we can turn to that Word of God and find strength and peace and joy.
Amen.
To be a very present help in my time of need. I need strength, especially when walking up hills. If I was walking up today up to Jerusalem, I'd probably sing, but I'd have to stop and sing sometimes. Elk season comes, I jump out of my truck, I look at the mountains and say, I know where they're at. They're just on the other side of that place. And I'm going up over and just to the other side of that place. My body says, you're crazy. You're nuts. And it used to be able to get up there in an hour, and now it's like, well, I got to stop and eat lunch about halfway up there. You see, my head is still 18, but my legs are not that way anymore. I need the strength of Almighty God when my legs won't hold me anymore. And don't look into the strength of somebody else. Put your heart into this journey. Blessed is the man whose heart is in you, whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. That guy didn't come from wherever he came from to get to this place and stop. His journey began there and it would not end until he was there. God is saying, put your heart into this journey from the place where you are now to the place you will be in Him. Have you ever been to the place where you really got to say, God, I don't care what's going on. I'm going through with you. I don't care what the devil's slinging today. I believe you. I don't care the events and the circumstances surround me right now. I'm going through with you. How many times I let stuff cloud my way. There you go, Ray. We've been talking about clouds in Sunday school. Sometimes stuff just clouds. And he gave us the definition of a cloud. Something that hides. Something that covers over. How many times I let that interrupt my journey? I read the 11th chapter of Hebrews yesterday. The Hall of Fame of Faith. By faith they overcame. By faith they slew. By faith they won. By faith, they were victorious. By faith. There are times in this life that all I have is faith. You know, the world doesn't like that. The world doesn't like that. They like metrics. They like things that I can measure. They like things that I can prove. But when you give me faith, that's a whole other realm, and they don't like that. I'm really getting fascinated by the new atheists. The Richard Dawkinses of this world and the Hitchens of this world who has died, and he may have just understood that he was thinking all wrong when he lived. Why? What they come up with to do away with God. We read about them in the paper every couple of weeks. Marty Rush will get a... You hear me talk about him. I just love it whenever he writes an article because sometimes they are so out there. But he's perfectly happy to be where he is. But he can't stand where I am. He can't stand where I am because I'm living by faith. I'm not walking by sight. I'm walking by seeing things that people can't see. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And I choose to walk in that. The world can't handle it. But that's okay. One day the world will know how wrong they were. You've heard me say before, and I believe this, when Mount Shavana was nothing but a sandbox, the Word of God will still stand. In all of eternity to come, God's Word will still stand. I think that's going to be one of the blessings of heaven, is all of a sudden to be able to understand how real, how true, how wonderful God was in His Word that He gave to us. So I'm set for the journey. Focus on the journey. Focus on the place where you're going. Your heart is on pilgrimage. I'm going to go be with Jesus. Self, listen to what you're saying. I'm going to go be with Jesus. Therefore, I want to live my life to honor Him. You know, there's nothing that I can do good to get to where Jesus is. I cannot get to heaven by works. I cannot do that. We tried for years and it did not work. It would be like being playing on a baseball team and every time you hit a home run, you never struck out, you never even had a strike, you just hit a home run. That's impossible. I mean, you know, it's impossible. Mickey Mantle, I just think a guy could do it. But no, he is hitting home runs and killing himself in the meantime. Trying to get to heaven by works would be like stepping to the plate and hitting a home run every time. I have failed. I have flopped. It has been bad. But my heart is still on this pilgrimage. Not long ago, they had a series of programs on the National Geographic Channel about the visions of Medjugorje, the miracles of Medjugorje, when Mary, the mother of Jesus, was appearing to these kids. And they have them that happened at Lourdes, and it happened at Fatima in Spain or Portugal. And people come, and I would watch these people. My mother-in-law used to talk about los penitentes. And there's still areas in New Mexico and Mexico itself where people will go to a place where maybe a statue is there, a festivity, and there's something, and they will crawl on their hands and knees. Instead of walking up the steps, they'll get on their knees and they'll walk up the steps on their knees, beating themselves with little whips until they bleed, trying to do something good for Jesus. There was a whipping that went on, and he took it. There was an opening of skin, and Jesus took it. There was suffering, and Jesus took it. There's nothing that I have to do to add to what happened at Calvary, because Calvary was enough. So on this pilgrimage, I make this pilgrimage with my eyes focused on Christ and what Christ did for me, and living in the grace of Almighty God. People ask me sometimes, why do we even read the Old Testament? Sometimes it just, you know, I don't know about you, but if you've read it a couple of times, you're going like, what does this have to do with me? Let me tell you what it has to do with you. When you read the Old Testament, you can stand up, jump up and down, and tell God, thank you for the grace through Jesus Christ. I don't got to bring no dead sheep, got to bring no dead goats. I can go to church even though I have been around a dead person. I can go to church even though I moved a dead animal. I don't have to do all of these things. Because the grace of Almighty God in Jesus Christ has transferred to me everything that's in the Old Testament. People want to follow rules. I watched a program not long ago about a man who has another, he's in another denomination, as a word, and they worship on Saturday. And he's saying that the God never ended that Sabbath. No, he didn't. He said, in the beginning, this Sabbath will be for you, my people Israel, and in the end, it will still be for my people Israel. The Sabbath is for you and I, but it doesn't have to be on Saturday. It has to be a day of rest. Jesus rose from the grave on Sunday, and we worship that way. But I listen to the man, and he tells me this. If you're worshiping on Sunday, you have taken the mark of the beast. I'm like, okay, this is pretty wild. Let me just say to you, like I tell my Jehovah Witness brothers and sisters when they knock on the door, it's the grace of God that has brought me where I am. It's the grace of God that will get me where I'm going. It is the grace of God that will allow me through those gates, hand in hand with Jesus. My focus is on pilgrimage. My focus is in not sitting down here, squatting here, homesteading a piece down here. And we got to have places to live, and a nice house sure beats a cave all the way around. But that house is not all there is. That's only a temporary dwelling. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Because I want you where I am. That's where I want to be. I want to be with Him. Thank God for what I have here. But God, don't let me get tied to it. Let my eyes be constantly focused on what's the reality of life. And that's Jesus. Let your heart be set on pilgrimage. Moving. Peter said we're only sojourners. We're not residents. We're sojourners. We're just passing through. Abraham. God sent him to the land of promise, and he never lived in a city. He never had any property of his own. He just went where God told him to go and did what God told him to do. That's what I need to be focused on. This world is not my home. I'm only passing through. My God. Ah, thank you, Jesus. As they pass through the valley of Baca, that place of trial. Man is born to trial, it says, I believe in the book of Proverbs, like sparks fly up from the fire. It's going to come. But I want to go back to that verse in 1 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 13. There is no trial taking you. Why me? Because James says, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. For the trial of your faith worketh patience. Pastor, that was a good sermon till you got that word. And I'm just like you. That's if God would have left the book of James out, it would have been okay with me, but nobody asked me. I'm just like everybody else. I don't like trials either. But I know they've got to come. I know they have got to come. Some of you just came out of that place called trial. Some of you just walked into that place called trial. Some have been resident in that place called trial. 4 days and weeks and months and years you've been in that place of trial. I feel like the Spirit of God would have me say this. I wasn't going to say it, but I just feel like it's time that you get up and you move from this mountain. We get so used to the trials that we're in, they become like the cloud that shaded us from the sun, and like the pillar of fire that heated us in the night. And God says, get up and move from this mountain. It's time that you go. If you've been in that trial for those years and years and years and years, and your thinking is being warped into saying that this is all that there is, it's time to get up and it's time to move. There is no trial taking you but such as is common to man. You're not going through something special. I'm not going through something special. I've been there because, oh God, if you only knew. Nobody in the whole world has ever been to this place that I'm at right now. Yes, they have. Because it's all common to man. But God, that's one of them but gods that I absolutely love. But God is faithful.
who will not allow you to be tried. Your Bible may say tempted. Trial is just as good a word. He will not try you above what you are able, but will, with the trial, bring a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. We were mentioned this morning in church about God answering prayers. Sometimes He says yes and He answers the prayer. Sometimes He says no. Sometimes He says not now. And sometimes He says, get off your dead butt and move on out. But we get so comfortable where we are. If God would ever take away our sickness, what would I ever have to get pity from anybody? If I wasn't sick, they wouldn't be pulling out my chair for me and pulling me up and walking with me. If I wasn't sick, I'd have to walk myself. I'm not being mean. I'm just saying this is reality. Sometimes we need to get up from around the mountain. We need to move out. We need to take God at His word. God says crazy things. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Tell this mountain, be moved and cast into the sea. And when you pray, not doubting, that mountain has got to move. But sometimes we think, well, man, if that mountain wasn't there, what would I have to look at? I like mountains. Mountains are nice. It's time that we tell the mountain be removed and be cast into the sea. Why? Get out the way, mountain. I'm on my way to heaven. Speak to it. Let the high be brought low and the low be brought high and the crooked made straight. I'm on my way to see Jesus. And nothing's stopping me. Ain't nothing stopping me. Ain't nothing stopping me. I used to have conversations with myself. So, still do. Sometimes talking to yourself, the only good conversation you can have. You know what I mean? Yeah. I used to have conversations with myself. But if I put this bottle down, what am I going to do with my spare time? If I take these cigarettes out and I throw them away, what am I going to do in case I have the beer that I put down? What am I going to do? If I give up the pleasures of this world to be a Christian, what am I going to do? And I had no idea what that what am I going to do is. Oh my God. You give up the insanity, you give up the craziness, and you step into the kingdom of God. You give up the things where you have this wonderful thing called party, and the next morning you hear the flies as they walk across the roof. Amen? Thor and his hammer is in your head. You've been there. Well, what do those Christians do? What do I just do? Go to church? Oh my God, if I would only had known back then what I know now. That's what I try to tell young people. Just take my word for it. You know, just take my word for it. Serve God a while. Let Him do the rest. Let Him bring you into a place of relationship where you wonder, how did I ever get through life without this? How did I ever live a moment without Jesus? We're on pilgrimage. We're on our way to be with Jesus. And we are going to go through the valley of Baca. Gloria Gaither wrote words to a song one time. Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. Weeping only lasts for the night. Hold on. Hold on. I'm on pilgrimage. I'm on a journey. I'm going. And right now, the mud is really deep. I can't move. Can't seem to move. I don't know if you've ever been in that kind of mud where you'd... I've told you before, I had in Anchorage, Alaska, one time down on Ship Creek, I had to have my partner I was fishing with pull me out of my waders. I had my red ball waders stuck in the mud, just these things there I couldn't move. He had to pull me out of them. So he laid out cardboard and pieces of wood and everything to get out there where we could crawl back out, because I was out there fishing like an idiot and the tide was going out. Didn't pay attention to what's going on, and now I can't move. Have you ever been to the place where you're so intent on what you're doing that suddenly you realize you're in a place you can't get out of? I can't get out of this place. There's something has a hold on me, and I want out, but I cannot get out. When you're in that situation, look around for the one that has laid down the cross and put himself on it, and he's crawling out on that cross to get you and to pull you out of the place where you've been. Sometimes, like Benji said, we step out away from God. Only we can do it. We just kind of step out from the umbrella of his protection. And suddenly the world ain't the place that it used to be. And suddenly you realize, look where I am. And I waded myself right on out here. But God is merciful. But God is long-suffering. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And He comes where I am. And He takes me out of that miry pit, out of that place of clay, and He sets me on the rock. He gets me on my journey. I'm journeying to where He is. And one day, the journey is over. Brother Dwayne, this has been so on my heart since yesterday. I thought about it. If I've been awake for 8 hours since then, I have thought about it constantly. Gail's journey is over. It's over. All the trials and the troubles and the pain and the suffering, it's all over. She's home. And if we are willing to end that journey, to just keep walking, one day we're going to walk through that gate and the journey is over.
Hallelujah. Yes.
God. To get to that place where you step out of your boat and you hit the shore and you realize it's heaven. It's home. You reach out your hand. A hand grabs it and you realize it's God's hand. Take that breath and realize that you're breathing heaven's air. You come to the realization, this is home. This is where I was headed. Streets as rich as gold, pure, clear gold. My home has doors made out of pearl. One pearl per door. Wow. My house has got a foundation now. It ain't on cinder blocks. God has built me a house, so I can live with Him forever. So now my job is to walk out that journey. We're on a journey. We're going home. How wonderful it is to know that God is at the end, and no matter what we're going through, this place of wailing and weeping and stuff that we get into will suddenly be turned into the valley of blessing. Wherever you're at this morning, would you allow God to turn your circumstance into a valley of blessing? Would you be willing to tell God this morning, God, I'm walking as best I can, but right now there's some things that are going on in my life I don't understand. I just can't deal with it. I can't bear it myself. And I'm tired of weeping. I'm tired of bawling my eyes out. God, can you help me? And let God turn it into a valley of blessing. Don't rely on your own strength. Let God do it. Could we pray? Father, this morning in this place, I believe that everyone here is on a journey. And if you're not, maybe the whole length of your journey has been to step out of your car and walk into this room. Maybe that's as far as your journey has ever got with God. Well, I'm telling you, welcome to this place because Jesus is here. And He's here for a particular reason. He's here for you. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, today's the day to do it. Don't let it go by another moment. You don't know if you got another moment. But if you're willing to say, Lord, I have totally failed. I have blown everything. I'm a sinner. And I need a Savior. Jesus, come be my Savior. Forgive my sins. I accept what you did for me. And now I want to walk this life with you as Lord of my life. I repent of everything I've done. Lord, be Lord in my life. You pull the strings. You drive the bus. You be in control. Amazing thing is, if you say that and you mean it with everything in your heart, He'll do it. He'll do it and start you on this incredible journey to home. You may be here this morning and you're bogged down in some things. Things have slowed down. It's not like it used to be. Cry out.